most remarkable events in modern American political history. Without question, Donald Trump scored a crushing, shocking defeat of Hillary Clinton in the debate. The online polls uniformly show Donald Trump, the BuzzFeed poll is 90% Trump, somewhere 2 or 3% for Clinton, 5%, with 2 million votes. That's a remarkable feedback. Those are real. The scientific polls, as others have said, the longer they withhold them and they come back with a sample of 500 people or whatever, but they're science. They're really hardcore science, and they're always skewed. So what you want are the instant polls of the people, by the people, for the people, like we had last night. And they're there if you want to look for them. Up this hour, back to do some more of his stellar analytical work, is Joel Skousen. Thanks for being here, Joel. Pretty wild night last night.
Yes, it certainly was. And frankly, it was refreshing to see the moderators sidelined and Trump and Clinton going at it, and Clinton clearly on the defensive.
You know, the mainstream media trying to spin this into some horrible, low-life thing that Trump did to an honorable, highbrow presidential debate. Nothing can be further from the truth. Hillary Clinton is the issue in this campaign. Her health, or her positions are critically important too, but she is the issue. She is a career arch criminal. As Laura Ingraham said, we've waited a long time for this. And Trump had to come out fighting, and he came out in awesome form. And this is after holding that news conference just before with the four victims of Bill Clinton. This is after having absorbed a year and a half of the most calculating character assassinations that the mainstream media really, I think, has ever dished out to anybody. And he stood tall and showed the strength of a lion last night.
Well, you know, it was interesting, Jeff, that the two major stories came out almost on the same day, and that was the leak about Hillary Clinton's speeches to Goldman Sachs and
paid private speeches. Yeah.
Get this, 92 speeches in 3 years, netting her $21.6 million.
That's more than you and I make together.
$21.6 million. I mean, how much does... why do these companies need to pay $225,000 a crack to hear Hillary Clinton speak?
It's just all bribery. It's payoffs. It's extortion money. Yeah.
Yeah. But these are not direct pay for play.
No.
This is much bigger. This is basically, hey, this woman's on the docket as an insider. We need to support her until she runs for president, so you're to give her money. And, of course, we, the establishment, who run the Fed and everyone else, we can make sure that you, Goldman Sachs, continue to get, you know, the millions of free money from the Fed that you need. But we want you to dish out to Bill and Hillary Clinton, you know, at $250,000 a crack for a speech. I mean, this
is just pure
corruption.
Also, everyone, that when these big corporations pay money like Joel is describing so eloquently here to Hillary Clinton, they write it off. It doesn't cost them anything. It's a cost of doing business. And Hillary Clinton, of course, is a 5093C. So it's all a charitable donation, or it's written off. It costs them nothing.
Well, you know, at the same time, of course, that the 11-year-old tape recordings of Donald Trump, you know, you have to ask yourself, they've known about this stuff for years. Why didn't they release it last year in March? Why not in August? You know, why right before the debate? Well, you know, this was a real tough thing. And one of the tough things about the revelations on Trump is that it provides details. Now, people can get along with the fact that politicians are immoral. They kind of assume that. You know, Kennedy had his mistresses almost.
Anybody with money is exposed to that kind of lifestyle.
That's
anybody.
Right. You know, and you know, when you read the Bobby Baker revelations about senators and congressmen and Lyndon Johnson, I mean, these guys are all corrupt, all womanizing, all groping women and other things. I'm not excusing, you know, Donald Trump, but what I'm saying is people don't want to hear the details. When you give them the details, I mean, if you know the blow-by-blow details of Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, it would disgust people and turn them off. You know, to hear that, you know, he had this illicit relationship, as long as you keep it in the general, people can, you know...
Well, the stained dress was pretty grim. The cigar was pretty grim, but I get your point, and it's correct.
Yeah, but, you know, when you get the video and the words of Donald Trump, his actual recording, it really turns people off, and it makes it difficult, you know, to, even if you're going to vote for the lesser of two evils, you know, the horrors of Hillary Clinton, you have to vote for Donald Trump, and yet it makes it difficult for people, because it implies that you endorse those words and the details that you describe.
It's an unfortunately a shallow way to evaluate it, but it's true. Now, do you know about Megyn Kelly? And her potty mouth? We already know about Hillary Clinton and her potty mouth.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton's got a real potty mouth.
Do you know what Megyn Kelly did?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear that.
Oh, big story. I've got it. She went on the Howard Stern program worldwide and talked in great detail, as Howard is wont to do with his guests, about her sexual performances of her husband, his size, about her breast size. They used to be called killer bees, she said. But then when I had a child, they grew, and we called them swimming seas. Went on and on about her private sex life. Now, who, A, gives a damn, and B, who would be interested in that? I mean, that is worse than what Trump did. By a mile, she went on voluntarily on worldwide television with Howard Stern. Here's Trump on a bus, not knowing he's being recorded. Just a little difference
there.
Look,
you and I have done a lot of interviews. I do a lot of interviews. You get mic'd up, and you do a test, and you realize, hey, that mic's maybe hot. You just can't be stupid enough to say. You have to watch what you say.
Well, he was on a bus, and he didn't know. You've got this completely analyzed correctly, as always.
I'm just making the point, though, that Trump is responsible for the stupidity of making...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure.
And it is locker room talk, and there's no proof that he actually did these things. You know, Trump is known for bravado. He hasn't admitted to actually doing them. But, you know, we know that Kennedy did these things. We know that Bill Clinton raped at least four women. We know that Hillary Clinton defended a rapist against a 12-year girl and then laughed about the results. I mean,
twice.
These are heinous things. You know, I only wish that Donald Trump in the debate had taken the time to read a quote from Linda Tripp. This is devastating. You know, you talk about my temperament, he should have said. This is what Hillary's temperament, you know, White House staffers cowering in fear to stand before Hillary Clinton because she is profane. She is vulgar. She throws things. You know, this is the temperament, and she hates the military. He should have said that. She hates the military, according to Linda Tripp of the White
House. Let's see what happens next time. I think he's going to only get better at this. As Rudy Giuliani said, you saw Rudy, I'm sure, he said that this is new to Trump, this format, and look how he's doing. He's a master of the teleprompter already, and the next debate is going to be even better than this one. And I think he's right. Trump is a quick study.
He knows that he cannot beat Hillary at the data-driven issues game. I mean, she's got these memorized spiels. They're disingenuous, of course. She's lying through her teeth. She's putting out the same liberal garbage, promising benefits and promising lovely outcomes. I mean, I couldn't believe it when they talked about, you know, the Obamacare. They had the audacity to allow a question that said, you know, premiums have gone up and, you know, costs, and you can't get your own doctor, and all the negatives of Obamacare.
Right.
Hillary Clinton, what do you say about it? Oh, yes, we need to have reform, but we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, and Hillary, you know, and Trump correctly, we need to throw it all out. But unfortunately, Trump is not going to come up with a decent solution. He's still going to have, in fact, he asked him, you know, Anderson Cooper said, you know, are you going to maintain the mandate? And he evaded it. He did not answer the question, which I felt
What does that say? That says he doesn't have a plan in place yet that he can point to.
He was promising to keep, and you know, this is one of the problems, is you get these hot button issues with people like keep prior existing conditions. This is what's raising premiums so high. You just cannot do this.
Mm-hmm.
Keep prior absorb prior positions without raising fees for everybody.
Right, right.
And he should have made that point. It's just like he failed for the second time around to make the point when they talk about how the rich are, you know, how do you propose the rich are going to pay their fair share? It would have been such a simple thing to say, look, you know, the top 20% pay 84% of the taxes. How is that not their fair share? How is that not their fair share?
Yeah.
You know, he failed to do those very basic arguments.
Well, that needs to be in his stump speech, and it needs to come out in the next debate. I don't know what the format of the next debate is. It's coming up on, what, the 19th? Yeah, the 19th. So
well, apparently it doesn't matter what the format is, Jeff. Trump knows that he can't stick to a format. He's got to go wild. He's got to go nuclear.
Perfect with the town hall format, though, for him. Get up and walk around.
He could have done that anywhere. I mean, he didn't need the town hall format. He just basically disregarded the moderator and the questions and started talking and attacking, and it was very, very effective. People liked it, too.
Oh, they loved it. Yeah, they did. All right, so a week from this Wednesday is the last debate, so we will see. Rudy Giuliani says, watch for him to be better next time. He learns quickly. He didn't know anything about teleprompters, and Giuliani said now he's a master of that, and he is. He does very well with them. And I think this is a format that he's going to become far stronger at the next time. We'll see.
Said he hit a home run, and I think he did.
Yeah.
You know, it was very interesting because, you know, I was ready to prepare for this next week brief saying, you know, it's over. You know, Trump has just lost.
Hey, people were ready for a funeral last night. You're right.
Yeah, that's right. It was really, and to come back and, you know, admit that it was locker room talk, saying I'm sorry for the thing. I mean, it could have even been a little more apologetic in the thing. But nevertheless, by coming back on the attack, he balanced the scales, and all of a sudden Clinton and their dark, dark secrets are out. And of course, Hillary, as the women did, for attacking them. You want to save him any embarrassment from his dalliances. And so he really blackened her name, and she didn't have a good response for it. In fact, you know, she was so pompous, so arrogant, so dismissive, that it really looked bad. I mean, people couldn't have had a bad opinion of the arrogance and the pomposity of that woman as she put her nose in the air and responded. And that's not the right way to respond to these things.
I have put together a 90-second video of her grinning with that arrogant condescension and dismissiveness.
Yeah.
I put it together. I've got it here. I'll send it over to you. I'm going to put it up tonight on YouTube.
And that'll be fun to see. Well, agonizing to see, actually.
It is despicable. You just want to pop.
Cringe, yes.
You want a popper. It's just bad. That kind of arrogance is what Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake, you know, that kind of thing. It's that bad. Well, we'll see. We'll see. On balance, I'm interested in your opinion on Donald Trump after a year and a half of egregious abuse. The New York Times last week put out 12 Trump hit pieces in one day. He came through when people were thinking it was going to be a wake or a funeral of the once wonderful Trump campaign. And he shocked people again. This guy is almost superhuman. His strength was extraordinary. And I think we all got the feeling at some level that this man is a leader. He's not a shrinking violet. He stood up and walked right into the teeth of this thing, which would have done in almost anybody else. And he surmounted it, and he came away head high and had the world behind him.
Well, my point of view is slightly different. I don't accrue to Donald Trump those kinds of blades because, you know, as a person who analyzes things in much more detail, I mean, I admire the fire and the fight, the lion going into the cage as he did, and his arguments weren't that strong. He was
but
his arguments weren't very strong.
Let me say that I fully understand, and I concur with you. I do not think the man is perfect. I think what we have is what we have, and what we have is a choice of black and white. We have no other choice, and thank God this man is truly caring about this country. Now, his details All the I's are not dotted, the T's are not crossed. I agree with you. But I don't see we have any other choice but to rally and support this man to the best of our ability, because we're not going to get another chance.
Yeah, absolutely. If Hillary Clinton wins, it's all over for conservatives and libertarians in this nation. It's all over. We're never going to recover. She's going to flood this nation with Democratic voters, illegals, and refugees. And
they're registering them right now, Joel.
That's right.
A couple million have been registered already. Given citizenship.
That the courts are in their camp, and we know the courts are banning any voter ID. I mean, what's wrong with showing an identification to be able to vote in an American election, to show that you're a citizen, have the right to vote? I mean, this is just criminal for the courts to side with these things and claim that this is
What is the Department of Homeland Security doing registering illegals to vote? What is that?
Yes.
What is Loretta Lynch meeting in her airplane with Bill the Rapist Clinton and making deals? What is James Comey up there lying and saying, well, yeah, we should indict her, but we're not going to? And this guy sits on the board of HSBC? Millions. He's in it. Yeah. He's a crook. They're all crooks.
$6 million a year working for Lockheed. That was a payoff. That
of course
is
it
not
was.
A
no.
normal salary for a
no. Not even a CEO.
Council.
No, yeah. No way. CEOs of many companies don't make that much. Not big biggies, but a lot of smaller ones. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So anyway, I think in summary, for those of you who think that, and a few of you who don't know me well, Joel is right. There are lots of flaws with Donald Trump. But what are the issues in front of us? The issues are two people, Clinton, Trump. What's your choice? Get off the fence and make up your mind. It's that simple. You vote for the end, you lose your guns, we lose our freedoms, we lose conservatism, we lose the principles that made this country great, we lose our future, and some of us will lose our lives. That's what's ahead.
Well said, Jeff. And, as I say, this is the battle of the century for conservative values. Even though Trump isn't perfect as a representative, he's the only thing that can save us from Hillary Clinton. And so I am going to vote for him.
Yeah. Yep. We have an issue, and it's called vote fraud. They're stacking already the electorate with illegals. This is the problem. These people have no right to vote in this country. Why doesn't the Trump Organization file in federal court, why hasn't it already, a lawsuit asking for an injunction to stop government agencies from registering illegal aliens to vote in this country? This is wrong. Obama is allegedly giving out citizenship status, naturalized status, to illegals who will vote for Hillary Clinton. There needs to be a lawsuit introduced immediately to ask for an injunction against any government agency being involved with voter registration of illegals. That's my feeling.
Well, I wish we could depend on the courts. But
I know we can. I know, but I'm talking about the PR impact of doing so. I know the courts are crooked. We all know that. I agree with you. But we've got to do something to make noise about this, to at least get on the record that we opposed it. So let's say there's an appeal later on. We've got a precedent set back here. We filed a lawsuit. We go back to that lawsuit. We push anyway. It's just the whole thing of vote fraud has always enraged me ever since I read the Collier's book almost 30 years ago now. Vote fraud, vote scam, just an amazing book about the corruption in Florida when they had paper ballots, I might add. Huh. Oh, God. Do you know this David Brock, the political hitman of Clinton, or one of her operators?
Sure.
The guy's bad news. He's openly advertising now for anybody who has any tapes of Donald Trump that they'll pay for them. Now, that tells me that that was their big shot. This tape, they knew about it. Priebus knew about it. Rat Ryan knew about it, and they never told Trump. They knew about it weeks ago, according to Bill Still, and he's a good journalist.
Yes, he is. Yeah. I think as well the government was involved in the leak of Donald's tax returns.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is the world is arrayed against this person, and you know, despite his flaws, he will stop several of the globalist agenda. He sadly doesn't have a clue really about the phony war on terror. Continues to spout that, you know, Assad is guilty of chemical weapons on his civilians, you know, and that's just very, very sad.
Is that true ignorance, or is he saying that for political reasons so he doesn't sound too far out? If he says, those stories are all lies, the Americans are supporting ISIS, we created ISIS, wouldn't that be a little bit much?
It would be much. I'm just not confident in his ability to really understand the details. Once again, he always fails on the details of the conspiratorial issues, but there are certain proofs, you know, that are very, very good. And, you know, one of the state senator, I'm covering this in the next week's World Affairs Brief, that one of the state senator from Virginia really done yeoman's work in going to Syria, interviewing Assad, interviewing the various people. He had a very interesting story to tell. He said, you know why there's so many civilian casualties in the bombing of Aleppo? And it's because the rebels, the U.S.-backed rebels, al-Nusra, will not let any of the civilians leave.
Leave. No, they're keeping them prisoner. I know.
So instead of pressuring Assad not to bomb, you've got to be pressuring your own allies, the ones that you're supporting, to let the civilians leave. Assad says we'll accept them with open arms. We'll even give amnesty to people who lay down their arms except for those that...
Yeah,
you know, are known for committing terrorist acts, but you know, that's the problem, is that the civilians are being held hostage, and these hospitals that are being built, these are not public hospitals, these are secret hospitals, so that when you bomb enemy positions, they set them up so that a hospital, what they claim is a hospital, gets hit. But you know, there are a dozen operating hospitals in Aleppo under the Syrian control, and they invite people, send your wounded to us. But no, they don't. They want to make sure civilians get killed so they can blame or further justify U.S. military intervention.
Wow. All right.
Very telling. Yeah. We'll talk about it after the break.
Take a break. Let me remind you that Joel is the editor-in-chief of one of the world's premier geopolitical newsletters called World Affairs Brief. Comes out weekly. If you'd like a complimentary copy, all you have to do is write to Joel and ask. Tell him you heard him here. WorldAffairsBrief.com. editor@WorldAffairsBrief.com. One more time. editor@WorldAffairsBrief.com, and he'll send you a copy. And we will be right back. Okay, and back with Joel Skousen. I mentioned Marie Antoinette earlier. Was that this hour or last hour, Joel? I can't remember. The arrogance of Hillary Clinton reminds me of Marie Antoinette, who said, allegedly, let them eat cake.
Well, oh, yes, you did mention that, yes.
Yeah, Victor Fletcher just wrote, and he said what she really said to the so-called peasants was, let them eat grass, which is why they chopped off her head and then stuffed her mouth with grass. That's the word, the truth of what happened.
Yes, very telling.
Yeah, not a smart move. I've got this video of her grinning. I'll send it over to you. I just got it here. Okay, let's look ahead and see where we are here. Now, a week from Wednesday is the final debate. Town hall, whatever. We know what happened last debate. She had the earbud. She was rehearsed. There were reports that she had the questions from Lester Holt in advance. She had the built-in teleprompter screen in the podium, which you saw, I'm sure, Joel, which went out, the light dimmed away, and as soon as the debate ended and she walked away from the podium, somebody came up and took the electronics that were underneath the top of the podium out and walked away with them very quickly. Another man before that took her notes away. We think those were the questions. So there were all kinds of Clinton crime cabal cheating going on. Lots of different cheating techniques. This time, she didn't have a mini teleprompter in her podium. She may not have had an earbud. We don't know for sure. She didn't have the questions in advance, we don't think. She was on her own. And she was as thin as a piece of paper. No substance, no nothing. Same old empty recorded memorized passages. So if it's a town hall next time, that might augur very well indeed for Trump. But did you see the pictures of the podium? The light on it?
Yes, I did. And, you know, none of that would have helped under Trump's barrage that he...
No, agreed.
You couldn't have helped her with any of that stuff.
Agreed.
Under the pressure of that kind of a quick return and barrage, it was just... She could only stammer and smile and give that same arrogant, cocky look like, oh, there he goes again. But it was effective.
Okay, let me do something here real quick. They are going to try and register as many illegals as they can before the election. And if you haven't seen yet, don't miss that picture of Bill Clinton on my homepage, on your homepage. It's up near the top. Look at that face. That rapist.
You're talking about his face during the debate?
Yep. One wonders if he might be looking off to his left at the four women who were there, his victims.
He looked pale, and he looked like he was under a withering attack.
Yeah.
He did not look smiling and cocky like he normally does.
No. 28 days. 4 weeks. That's it. And the tale is told. So what do we look forward to here? Trump was in Pennsylvania today. Jail her was heard in the crowd. He was in fine form. He'll carry on. I don't know. I think the big unresolved question is Pence. And I still think that he really should make a change now. I don't think there's any harm at all. I think he'll come out looking the better for it. Simply say, I'm sorry, but Mr. Pence is not the man I thought on certain issues, very big issues, like the endorsing of Paul Ryan, who absolutely opposes me in every major way about the border and immigration issues. He also endorsed ground forces and major military forces being used against the Russians in Syria, which he knows...
And a no-fly zone.
Which he knows I am firmly against and will lead to war.
Countered him in the debate, and that was to his credit. He said he did not agree with Trump's, with Pence's position.
Yeah. Do you think Trump can get hurt if he were to say, on that basis, I'm making a change for the betterment of the ticket that I'm running on?
I think it would hurt him. It would, because there's right now just so many floaters out there trying to get Trump to say, you know, even proposing, you know, vote for me now, and if elected, I'll step down and let Trump be Pence be president. And of course, that would be a disaster. Pence is turning into a neocon.
He always has been. I've studied this guy.
I agree. But, you know, he toned it down. He came Trump's way, and now he's gone back. And so...
I don't think that kind of betrayal should be tolerated. I think it would show principle. That's my feeling in the man if he were to make a change. I'm sorry.
Right now, I just don't think it would help him at all.
All right.
He just needs to make Trump put him in the back corner with the six... staff members as a normal vice president. Don't let him become a Dick Cheney like Pence wants to be with a 600
people. Listen to what Joel said.
His finger in every part of government. He was getting reports from every part of the far-flung empire to control it during George.
Yeah, it was the real government. It was the Cheney government is what it was.
It was.
Unbelievable. The man ran wild. What's he doing now, by the way?
Well, Dick Cheney has been supporting his daughter, who's supposed to be his replacement in government. Lynn Cheney, you know, has been running for Congress.
Yeah, sure.
She's as bad as the father, but that's what he's doing. Now, his health is still not good.
He's had about four hearts, hasn't he?
Right. So he's not healthy, so he's really kind of out of the picture, except for some small cameo appearances here and there. But he's still a player behind the scenes. He's a top globalist, like Henry Kissinger, and he's the one who is calling on a lot of the shots behind the scenes.
Right, right. What are you telling your wonderful readership in World Affairs Brief about the what we haven't talked about tonight? What are some of the other things you're talking? What is the outcome, as you see it right now, in Syria? The Russians doing their best to actually fight the people we have created and supported, the terrorists there, to sustain the Assad regime, which they should. What do you think's going on here? Now, I know you think ultimately that they're lining up to go to war with us, and that may very well be true. I don't know.
No, actually, I'm in the main story in Friday's World Affairs Brief was why, in my analysis of why the Syrian conflict between U.S. and Russia won't lead to war. But, you know, I left it open because it had not been resolved when I wrote last Friday about the fact that the U.S. is desperate to get in and start to get military action directly for U.S. forces against Syria. I found out that it wasn't just the one attack 3 weeks ago against Assad's forces where over 100 were killed of actual soldiers. They'd been in that position for 2 years, so that was no mistake. But it happened again a week later. The U.S. attacked Syrian soldiers again.
Didn't hear about that one. No.
You didn't hear about that one, but that's what State Senator Black from Virginia came back and said, yes, they struck again. And that's when the when the Russians came out and said, all right, no more. We're bringing in S-300s, and we're going to shoot down any American aircraft that attack Syrian troops. Yesterday, Josh Ernst of the Obama administration said they've taken the military option off the table of striking Syria. So the U.S. backed down, and I was surprised.
Obama blinked, Pentagon blinked.
Yeah.
They got S-300s and S-400s, and that that attack meant that was it. He said that's enough. That's it.
That's enough, and I like to see that kind of resolve because the U.S. has been lying through their teeth. I mean, the U.S. has been bombing hospitals, blaming it on the Russians. The U.S. got their al-Nusra to rocket a aid convoy to blame it on the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
They blamed, of course, chemical weapons attacks on the Syrian people on Assad, and it's just so stupid. No one can believe that Assad, a very rational Western-trained government, knowing that the West is trying to find an excuse to attack him, would use chemical weapons on his own people. I mean, militarily speaking, chemical weapons are not point weapons. They're brought. You don't hit terrorists in the middle of a city with chemical weapons without expecting it to drift all through the city. I mean, nobody thinks of that except, of course, U.S.-backed rebels who got their chemical weapons from Saudi Arabia and Turkey. So the bigger story, too, that State Senator Black of Virginia revealed is that the al-Nusra Front, which is running the Aleppo pocket, which is completely surrounded now. In fact, there was a major battle that you never heard about in the press. There were over 95 tanks manned by al-Nusra. I mean, this is not just a little guerrilla army. This is a full-blown brigade.
Where did they get these tanks?
Yeah, they got these tanks, you know, from captured, Syrian
overrun tanks, Syrian bases and so forth.
Syrian positions, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to get training in those tanks and things, mm-hmm. I mean, somebody had to train them. That's U.S. personnel in
That's special forces, yeah.
That's right. That's what they're doing. They're actually training these rebels in fighting techniques like this. But this was a major brigade onslaught on this enclave, or trying to break through the enclave, which was successfully repulsed by Russian Air Force and Syrian Air Force. And you never heard about it, this major battle going on. All you heard was that same story this battle was going on. You saw this lone Syrian boy sitting on this little chair crying for help,
mm-hmm.
and that was plastered over every news media, and nobody talked about the major, you know, conventional military battle that was going on, and the Syrians were fighting for the lives.
95 tanks. What happened to that onslaught? What happened? Was it repulsed?
It failed. It failed. It failed to break through because of Russian air power, obliterating about half of those tanks.
Wow.
And that's why the U.S. is really upset. But the other big story is that al-Nusra is not letting any of the 85 to 100,000 civilians left in the pocket.
Yeah.
This last remaining pocket of Aleppo that is controlled by al-Nusra, they're not letting him go. They killed 20 people last week who tried to escape. This should have been major humanitarian news, is that the United States-backed rebels, al-Nusra, which is not, they're still al-Qaeda, or of course Al-Qaeda is a U.S.-British operation just like ISIS is. But the point, I mean, the fact that they say we're no longer Al-Qaeda just shows that we can change names and labels at will, you know, for political purposes. But the point is the U.S. is responsible for not reining in these people who are, you know, killing people, more people than were killed supposedly in this airstrike on the hospitals. The other story is these hospitals are secret. They are not official hospitals. They're not marked in any way. And so when the rebels start firing and using firing positions where these hospitals are, and then they get bombed by the Syrian Air Force, of course you get to blame the Syrians for another humanitarian catastrophe, but it's the rebels that are responsible for that. I mean, the Syrians are doing their very best to stop from being accused of humanitarian disasters, but, you know, they're being set up by the U.S. and al-Nusra in these various devious ways to make sure that civilian casualties, hostages basically, are being killed.
One of the big secrets of the Syrian horror, and that's all it is, it's horrible, is the role that Iran is playing, backing Assad and his regime and his military training, special forces. They're in there. We also should talk about the role that the Israeli Air Force has been playing and Israeli ground troops. They've got special forces in there as well. Seems like everybody's in there. The Kurds are in there. The Turks are in there. The Americans, the Brits, the Germans, the French. I mean, this is really nuts. How do you resolve something like that, Joel? I've never seen anything in my life like this. Not in one country.
Well, the only way that you can resolve that is to blow apart the deception that's occurring. I mean, like the Russians exposed the U.S. deception about attacking ISIS by saying, look, what are all these convoys of oil lined up at the Turkish border? If you're fighting ISIS, why aren't you bombing them? And so Russia proceeds to bomb them. The U.S. did it once thereafter, but never again. I mean, this is a very, very... It's getting more and more difficult for the U.S. to hide their actual allegiance to ISIS and the protection that is being afforded them. And the way that they're doing it now, of course, is when they attack a city, they do it in a way... And they control the way the battle is formed, so there's always an exit, and they let ISIS escape so that when they take over a city that ISIS doesn't lose people.
The Turks, what's happening with them? They're taking more and more territory, allegedly creating a safe zone. I don't know for who, for what, but this situation in Syria is so complicated now. There's so many different people and facets and factions killing each other that apparently have unlimited weapons, no problem getting weapons and munitions. So it's just death, 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 death. And if Aleppo falls, and as Trump said last night, she says if Aleppo falls, and Trump said Aleppo already fell. He's right. We don't control Aleppo. We do through the rebels, I guess, but Assad doesn't control Aleppo.
But it's only a small pocket. It's only pocket that's holding out.
I don't know how big it is. I can't get a good read on it, but if that's what you say, that's what it is. All right.
Well, there's, you know, 80 to 100,000 people in there, so it's not a small pocket, but it is, you know, Aleppo's a big city. It was the biggest city in Syria until, you know, the fall where so many people have left, but it's mostly in the control of the government now, and the pocket is surrounded. And that's the big story. It's going to get squeezed out, and I don't think the Russians are going to lose. It's very interesting. The globalists were trying everything they could to make the Russians look bad, to create a no-fly zone, but the Russians continue to up the ante. You know, S-300s and S-400s, the U.S. are not going to test those weapons.
And why and who made the decision to paint American F-16s in the full colors of the Russian Air Force? What is that about?
I didn't hear that story. Where did that come from?
That was a big one. I had that a couple days ago too. Let me find it here. Hold on. Russian Air Force colors. No, that isn't it. I'll have to find it here. U.S. painting jets, Russia. No, that isn't it. I'll find it, but we're doing it. We're painting.
If that's happening, now the only reason that could be is because the U.S. is bombing targets,
that's right,
targets, and
that,
trying to get the blame
right.
on Russia. Although the F-16 is such a unique profile, it would be very difficult for anybody, who can recognize aircraft at all to mistake any of the Soviet aircraft for an F-16. There is no Soviet aircraft that even approaches the look of an F-16.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Okay, here it is. These sources here. Reddit. That's a pretty good source. We got Superstation 95. We got before.
No, that's
it's,
not a good source.
No, I understand. I'm just going down for you, so I'm looking at. We have Before It's News. Anybody can put stuff up there.
Yeah, that's not a good source.
Reddit is good. I'll quote Reddit here. They have a very high quality. Oh, they're FA-18s. They're not 16s.
Ah, okay.
So they look more like Russian jets.
A little bit more, but still.
Yeah.
The Russian jets mostly look like, F-15s and...
Right.
And larger F-18s. So, yes, an F-18 is a better make for several of the Russian...
The overlay works better. The Navy paints their aggressor aircraft for training to look like the Su-27. It's for training. Don't worry about Russian paint. Their aggressor trainers want them to look like F-15, F-16s. This is VFC-12 at Naval Air Station Oceana, Virginia. Somebody else writes, eye-catching paint schemes which make the jet fighter planes similar to their Russian counterparts have become a distinguishing feature of U.S. aggressors and adversary jets, along with splinter patterns that are inspired by Russian 4th and 5th generation aircraft. More traditional camouflage like that used by the Russian naval aviation is applied to U.S. Marine Corps FA-18 Hornets that inadvertently invented the splinter paint design. Following video shows, so they're trying to say now that this is not occurring over there, that it's over here for training.
Well, that isn't news, actually.
No, that's old.
That's old. Been going on for
forever.
Decades. We've always.
If that's the limit of it. Now,
yeah.
The other stories we're implying, and the sources, as we both mentioned, are not as good. So they were implying that this was going on over there, and if it is going on over there, then it's clearly for false flag operations or something of that ilk. Let me pull up just for fun. Now, you're a former fighter pilot, and you know, as you heard Joel say, they've been doing this for decades. So what they do is they paint up our jets to look like the adversary, so it makes the training more realistic. Oh, he's trying to pull up this one. Yeah, Superstation 95, just so you folks know who have been there, generally speaking, it's a skewed disinfo orientation that you're going to find there. Will you find anything worthy?
Sometimes you have to find corroboration somewhere else.
You've got to source it, and you got to look for it. U.S. repainting fighter jets to Russian colors, false flag bombing imminent. Okay, see, that's where we got this. The United States has been caught repainting several of their fighter jets in Russian Air Force colors. Training, or are they preparing to launch a bombing inside Syria, then blaming it on the Russians as a precursor to U.S. military action in Syria? Remember history. On April 15, 1961, a group of Cuban exiles took off from Nicaragua in a squadron of American B-26 bombers painted to look like stolen Cuban planes. All right, well, we can go there. But repainting these fighter jets, they can then send them out on bombing missions, making certain they fly low and slow around a target. Okay, yeah, that's a given, if that's the case.
Yeah, but they've already been doing it without repainting, so I'm just not buying that. Because that's, you see, long-term proof. You know, Russians have surveillance cameras on satellites. They can see those jets painted. They could publish that to the whole world if they land
easy
in Turkish Air Force bases. So
yeah,
that wouldn't be smart at all, I think.
All right, I'm reading through this, and this is not the one I read earlier. And it does appear that this could easily be going on over here. The question is it going on over there? That's the question. But I have no answer for you. All right. Well, that helps with that. Yeah, the 18s look a little bit like the Russian counterparts.
Right, right.
All right.
The important thing to remember about Syria is that the U.S. has been engaging in tremendous false flag operations desperately. You know, the whole reason for taking about half of the Syrian rebels is, okay, you're now ISIS. They just rebranded Syrian rebels and called them ISIS and gave them all the priority in arms, sent them off into Iraq so it didn't look like it was obvious that they were after the Assad regime, but it gave the U.S., after they drove them out of Iraq, an excuse to get back into Syria, supposedly, fighting ISIS. But sure enough, we got U.S. military in Syria fighting Assad in the name of fighting ISIS.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black when they talk about the Russians not fighting ISIS, just merely attacking U.S.-backed rebels. They're both doing that.
Exactly. All right. Just in sum, looking back at the debate, Trump very much in the running still. It was no funeral. It was no wake. It was a really very strong and powerful victory. The mainstream media won't acknowledge that, but they're having to, here and there, at least admit that some of the polls are showing that the people felt that was what happened. Where do we go from here, Joel? Any thoughts finally about this?
Well, I am just hopeful that Donald Trump will improve on the next debate. He will get some of these other stories out and flesh out, because she's got a lot more skeletons. There's people come out, talked about her lesbian relationship, sniffing cocaine off of a table. I mean, there's all kinds of witnesses that they can quote.
Yep. Well, he just barely scratched the surface, so we'll see.
And they haven't even touched the Clinton Foundation scandal yet.
Oh, no, and all the new emails and more to come. It's crazy. Thank you, Joel. Great as always. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Jeff.
Thank you. Good night. Okay, there he goes, and off to sleep in Utah. Thanks for staying up late, Joel. Okay, and thank you for being with us, and many of you were up late, too, on the East Coast, so we will say good night and be right back with you tomorrow night, and that's Tuesday. And who's on tomorrow night? DV Kid. Jim Mars will be here, Yoshi Shimatsu and Dana Dernford, so we got a full program tomorrow night. Wednesday, Jay Widener, David John Oates, and reverse speech of the debate for you on Wednesday. All right, talk to you tomorrow.